And welcome to everybody here on YouTube.
Hello.
You're holding the microphone in your hand, Kyle.
I forgot to move it.
Okay, well, just put it down. Put it down.
It's going to be loud, though.
Oh, well, that's what people like to hear. Go ahead, put it down.
Gently?
No, hard. There you go. Rob, did you make it?
I've made it.
Okay, and Alex, it looks like you're here as well.
Yeah, I'm here.
I like the suit, by the way. I think you should dress up every week.
Yeah, I tend to agree. You know, I just feel like I take the show much more seriously.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've been looking for ways to make you do that, and this seems to be a good step, at least. So So there's that. Well, you know what? Let's just give out the phone number right away so that if people have anything they wish to share about Kevin, and we don't have to just talk about that. We can talk about other things as well. 802-321-4225 is our phone number, 802-321-HACK. It's been a while since we've done this. And by the way, we're not doing the chat tonight because we're down a staff member, and it takes all of us, all of our combined mental abilities to be able to field all of the comments that are coming our way to make sure that they're acceptable for our audience and all that. Difficult show. Knew it would be. I'm still processing. That Kevin's gone, and it's going to take a while, you know. But this is part of living. Part of living is dealing with loss, and I don't know if I'm going to get any better at it. But it's something we're all going through together. So nobody out there should feel like they're alone. Rob, go ahead.
As I said on a radio hour, there have been so many reminiscences shared with us. We'd like to hear more, so give us a call. But while we're waiting for calls, I'd like to read one or two things that came in on Mastodon over the past week when we posted the news. Margaret posts, shocked and saddened to hear of Kevin's passing. I was on the editorial team that published his first book, The Art of Deception, which gave invaluable insights into the human aspects of tech security. Code Ripper says, I'm rewatching Freedom Downtime this morning. F cancer. You quite agree.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even imagine the hell that he was going through over the past year. You know, because as we mentioned, pancreatic cancer is so unforgiving and so relentless and so hard to even detect. And it's so humbling to realize that, on this planet, there was nobody that could help him. That's where we are in our development as human race. One day that will change, I have no doubt. But right now, yeah, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing, and I just I hope he found peace during that horrible ordeal, as if he hadn't been through enough horrible ordeals. We have a call, Kyle. Okay, let's. No, that's not. Something we want.
It's a regular caller.
It's a regular caller? What do you mean by that?
The fast busy.
The off-hook tone.
Yes. The phone line will be open for a couple more minutes.
Well, it's open now. 802-321-4225.
Yeah, that's an anticipation of a call. Please feel free to join our conversation. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can always write us, oth@2600.com.
Yeah, we had him on the show a number of times, and it was... It was always so much fun taking calls from listeners then, and just giving him, you know, a platform, a way to reach out to people. That first talk at Hope, you know, in 2004, that was a big deal because, remember, 1994, he was on the run, you know. In fact, I remember we were talking to him on wall phones at the Hotel Pennsylvania. We didn't know where he was, but he was phoning in to see how the conference was going. Again, it was the first big conference in the United States. It was inspired by the Dutch conferences. Then in 1997, he had been caught, but he was in prison, so obviously he couldn't come to the conference then. In 2000, H2K, he was out, but he was on supervised release for 3 years, which also kept him from attending in 2002 at H2K2. But the fifth Hope in 2004 was the period where supervised release ended, and he showed up, and that I believe is the first time he ever actually started talking about his life, what he was going through, not just security talks and things like that, which he excelled at. And did such an amazing job and helped so many people and companies and institutions throughout the world. It became his mission. And people really started to realize this guy has talent. This guy knows something. This guy should never have been locked away. Go ahead, Rob.
And you mentioned 2000, where he couldn't be at the conference. He wasn't allowed to associate with his computer friends. But that was the year that Freedom Downtime premiered at the conference, or at least an earlier cut of it. Mm-hmm. And at the end, there was a recorded message from Kevin, which I think is his first like intentional legal appearance at a Hope conference. And I remember, and I'm sure you remember, the round of applause that got when he popped up on the screen.
Yeah, absolutely. That was something. That was an incredible time. It really was. We have a phone call, Kyle?
Yes.
Okay. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yes, Emmanuel. Yes. How old was Kevin? I'm just curious.
That's I'm hearing about this. He was 59.
59? Oh, wow. Okay. I'm way older than me. Okay. Well, I'm sorry that that happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, first what it was who was the Jim, and then.
Yeah, it's been a rough year. It really has been. Had you met Kevin at any of the conferences?
I think I did, and the Hope 2004. I think I did meet him. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one we played the excerpt from just earlier.
Right, yeah, I met him there. I don't know if I met him. I don't remember, but I might have. I mean, I did go to the talk, but I mean, look,
he probably would have met you at some point. We wouldn't have been able to stop him. So, not that we would have tried, but I'm just saying he was very personable and reached out to everybody and would listen to everybody. It didn't matter if you were 12 or 80, he would listen to you.
Well, I hope you don't go.
Well, thank you. That's the nicest thing you've ever said, but... Yeah, fingers crossed.
Now, Rebel, were you at the 2600 meeting in, I think it was March of 2000, when Kevin was out of prison and he was able to go to the New York City 2600 meeting?
March of when?
Was it 2000 or would it have been later?
I think he would have been allowed to go in 2000.
Whenever it was his first 2600 meeting, and he wrote about it later for the magazine. And he showed up, and I don't think he was sure what to expect, but people like recognized him and started speaking with him. And at one point, they made the shift to asking him for autographs, but which I don't think he was quite prepared for. But he that was the first time I met him in person, and I think you might have been there, Rebel. He was very engaging and great to talk with even then.
And now I'm curious when that was. Go ahead, Rebel.
Yeah, you haven't been around. You've been traveling again. I was at the meeting and they said you were traveling again.
Who said I was traveling again? Well, I was. I was in Alaska. Yeah, I actually haven't been on the radio since June. So yeah, I guess they were telling the truth.
Well, because you haven't had a show since when the last time I called in was when I was in Russia, when I was in St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
I remember when I was in Petersburg, they have, you know, National Guard, well, I guess their version of National Guard people at the airport and at the train stations, you know, and, you know, like if you go to the main transit hub, they have, like, National Guard, like, looking people with armed people who look, you know, at the subway, not the subway station, but the railway station, like the main railway stations and at the airports and things like that.
Uh-huh. Well, it must have been a fun experience going over there again a second time.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you want to share with us?
Well, I wanted to demonstrate the 1-800-GO-FEDEX because I was trying to order something or see the status of an order, or to actually change, because I ordered something online, which I don't like doing, but sometimes you have to when you can't get something in the store. And they got the wrong address, and they said, well, we delivered the package to you, well, we tried, and there was no address, or it was incorrect, or whatever. The sender said this, the people who had bought it from. So I was trying to call FedEx, and so I can demonstrate what happens when you don't, you know, Doofender, they don't even connect to anymore.
Uh-huh.
Like a representative. Would you want to hold?
Well, you're just going to connect us to a recording, right? I mean, we're just going to be as frustrated as you've been.
Right. Well, you want to hold and I'll demonstrate it, but it's voice activated, so I'm going to put myself on mute and you shouldn't talk.
Okay, so we'll shut up and we'll just let you run things for a moment.
Okay, you put yourself on mute. Hold on.
Okay. Can you refill my glass?
Welcome to FedEx. This call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance. We have new enhanced mobile features you can conveniently access from your phone. Are you calling from a cell phone? Last time, you called about a shipment with a tracking number ending in 5496. Did you want to check on that shipment? If you're calling to get information about the tracking number ending in 5496, say yes or press 1. Otherwise, say no or press 2.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm
this FedEx ground
info.
Shipment...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry. I still didn't understand.
No, it's my fault.
That's all you need.
No, please tell me about the tracking. Give me all the information.
Sorry I'm having so much trouble. Unfortunately, that's all the information we can provide at this time.
You didn't tell me anything.
To manage your delivery.
No.
Please visit FedEx.com.
Where is it being delivered?
Thank you.
No, FedEx. No, don't hang up. Please don't go. Oh.
You see? I mean, if you don't have buttons on your telephone, like, you know.
I feel so rejected. Wow. She was going to drop your docs, though. She was going to tell me all kinds of information as to where that package was going and the full tracking number, maybe.
Well, that just went out over the air. So it sure did,
yes. People are already filling in the numbers.
Well, let's see. Well, they don't say anything. It hangs up. It says, you know. Well, let me demonstrate it when you don't. Actually, no, I won't.
Yeah, I think we demonstrated it just fine. You know, I think we get the idea.
Yeah, and when you call, they're in the Philippines.
Okay, that's also good to know. Rebel, anything else? We're going to try and take some more calls.
No, I guess that's it.
Okay.
I hope nobody hacks my package now. It's only a gaming chair.
Well, now you've told us what it is, and you've given us the last few digits. And, you know, it's interesting that they remember that you called before about that particular item.
Well, because of my phone number, that's why.
Yeah, I didn't know they did that. Now I know that.
Yeah.
So maybe mask that next time when you're calling a radio station.
Yeah,
all right.
True.
Yeah. Rebel, good hearing from you again.
Yeah, but it's an 800 number. It's an 800
number.
Well,
yes, it's an 800. They get your phone number very easily.
Yeah.
I hope you get your chair.
Yeah, I hope it all works out well.
Yeah, it's supposed to come Monday. It's supposed to come Monday. Excuse me.
Yeah. I'd take care of that first.
It's supposed to come Monday, yeah. So it's coming from California.
Wow. Hope we didn't give him COVID. You know, we caught COVID on the way back. And it's the kind that goes through telephone lines.
The kind.
Yeah, there is a kind that does that. Yeah, why not? People will believe anything, right? People will believe whatever you say these days, so why not? Yeah, it's COVID that goes through the telephone lines. All right, Rebel, stay healthy, all right? And we hope to see you at the forthcoming Hope, whatever it's called, next year.
Yeah, whenever it is.
It'll be next year. It'll be next year, we promise.
Oh, next year.
All right.
Okay, and I'll hope to see you at the 2600 meeting in August.
You might. You just might. Thank you for calling, and thanks for that wonderful wish of me staying alive. That's a, hold that close to me.
Yeah.
All right. Be well.
Okay.
Bye. Rob, you'll be pleased to know that I did some research. In fact, I did some research on our own website on the Off the Hook Archives, 2600.com. And I found out that Kevin, in fact, did attend the March 2000 meeting. I'll tell you exactly how it played out. A Court TV appearance allows Kevin to be in New York and attend the 2600 meeting there. That is how it happened.
Yes. I was looking at the date stamp on the photo that I have from the day of a friend of mine getting something signed. So yes, it was an interesting day because so many of us had been rallying for so long around the cause of Kevin. And I think for very many people, this was the first time that he was an actual human being standing in front of them.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that, you know, in Citigroup, maybe it was called Citicorp back then, there he was, not making a big deal of being there, but people just came up to him saying, oh, you're Kevin. And just that's it, you know, not freaking out or you know, getting all like, crazy that there's a celebrity amongst their midst. Just basically saying, oh, it's good to meet you, you know, and that's all he wanted. That's all he wanted was to be included, was to be part of a community. And this community really opened up to him. It really did, especially after the nightmare was ebbing a bit. So
absolutely. And, you know, he never asked for the path that brought him into such prominence in our community. But I think he was able to use it well and deal with it well and, remain a contributing and lively part of the hacker community for the decades after.
All right. Do we have another phone call? Okay.
Yes,
good evening.
We do.
You are on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks very much for the past hour. That was a great tribute you gave to Kevin. I know that he took part in at least one social engineering panel, I believe, at HOPE, and as well as that keynote that you played before. Mm-hmm. So besides those two, did he have any other appearances at the HOPE conferences, or was it just those two?
Oh, gosh. You're testing my memory. I mean, I'm sure he was there for a few. I'm not sure if he spoke at all of them. I would say at least two or three, at least.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look through YouTube. See
but what was special about
anymore.
2004, though, 2004, the Fifth Hope, was basically his mom and his grandmother came with him. And it was such a joyous occasion, them being in New York City and him not being in prison. Of course, they were horrified by the rooms in Hotel Penn, but, you know, they got over that. They said, you know what, it's okay. This is a special occasion and we're all just going to get through the weekend. And we all did. We had a great time and it was just so nice seeing everybody together. And I just wish there could have been more days like that.
Well, when I saw on the internet that he passed away, I rewatched Freedom Downtime, and it still holds up. I mean, I love it as much just seeing it as I saw when I saw it the first time. And when I saw it at HOPE, my first reaction was, I hope you guys will just replay it. I wanted to see it all over again as soon as it ended. It was that great. So. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for making that film.
Well, thank you for the support. That's that means a lot to us.
And I hope you'll consider making another documentary if some issue moves you as much, because you really did a phenomenal job on that film.
Well, we broke all the rules, I'll tell you that right now. So I'm not sure I can get away with it again, but I don't know. Who knows? There certainly are a lot of issues. It's a question of which one do you pick? There's just so much out there. But again, you know, back then there was no YouTube. There weren't smartphones. Now so many people can do what we did and probably do a better job. So I hope that people take advantage of the technology that's at their fingertips.
Yeah, the means of producing are that much cheaper to edit, to do all of that stuff as was done with Freedom Downtime, including distribution. I think there's still half a pallet of VHS tapes somewhere that we're trying to find a home for. You know, recycling VHS tapes is a really tricky business.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
You basically have to incinerate it. But long story long, thank you for the acknowledgement. And we are still walking around with cameras, so to speak, ourselves. So with any luck, maybe we will have some more filmmaking in the future.
Please encourage us.
Well, thank you for the great tribute, and I will definitely check out his previous talks on YouTube. So
great,
thanks for paying tribute to him. He'll definitely be missed. And rest in peace, Kevin. And thank you guys for doing such a great job.
Thank you
Have
very
a
much.
Great night.
Take care.
Bye.
What a nice call.
That was great.
I think that personifies pretty much what the community has been feeling in the past week or so.
He really did maintain a presence. He would travel a lot. I know he did come as you were reaching for. He was at least in a personal capacity. He would attend every now and then, and of course other events and conferences around the country and the world. And he was able to rebuild a consulting career and help people, as you said. He traveled all over the place, met and continued on, persevered, sharing his knowledge and doing it for hire too, and being able to sustain himself in that way, and to great benefit, I think, of a lot of organizations. And we were anybody who was able to see him or catch up with him or hear about his latest ventures, I think, was better for it. And we were really, really lucky to have him after so much for the even short period that we did.
You want to hear something crazy? Kevin actually helped us today. It's weird because, you know, I was looking for that clip on one of our Hope websites. And this is something we don't really publicize, but and a lot of people have figured it out already. We assign a Roman numeral to each conference, and we used to have a different domain. In other words, we had h2k.net. We might still have that, h2k2.net. Every conference had a different website, a different domain that we would have to register. And, you know, it's great when you have two or three conferences, but when getting over a dozen, there's a lot of domains you have to keep renewing, and eventually you ask yourself the question, why don't we just have it all done locally? And we simply make, you know, the fourth conference be iv.hope.net, you know, et cetera. So the fifth Hope.net, I believe, it was either fifthhope.net or the fifthhope.org. The fact that I can't remember it it's one of the reasons why I figured it was time to just let it expire. And that's what we did. We let it expire, and we rerouted everything to go locally, except for some reason we didn't do that. we didn't do it the way we were supposed to do it. And while looking for Kevin's talk today, I was trying to go to v.hope.net for the Fifth Hope. And it went somewhere else because somebody else grabbed the fifthhope.net or .org. And I thought we had some kind of intrusion or something. I was a little concerned. Then I realized, no, we just hadn't done that yet. We hadn't made sure that everything rerouted locally. But had I not been looking for Kevin's talk, who knows how long that would have been there for? So, and that was the only one too of all the conferences. That was the only one that was misconfigured. So,
hey, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, but also should never have happened.
That's true.
We'll get after whoever was responsible for that.
Similar to how Kevin was blamed for everything that went wrong, I hope he gets credit for everything that goes right in the future, because he certainly deserves that.
And I like that.
Something
like
else, you know, we had a machine that we named after his grandmother years ago called Reba. She was just such an incredible woman. She was so inspirational and personified everything that we were talking about, that he was going through. And I just think a great tribute would be if you have the ability to name a machine, name it Kevin, or name it Mitnick, or name it something like that. Just KDM, he was known as that. It's just a good tribute to have something named after, especially if it gets routed in emails and things like that, and you see it pop up everywhere.
I didn't think you were going to mention the machine name just generally, but that's the kind of thing that we did.
Reba's the most powerful machine we ever worked with, too, by the way.
It's also still vital in some ways.
I had like 20 hard drives. It was amazing. It was a workhorse.
It does a lot to this day still in many ways.
I didn't know we still had it. Okay.
No. It is still involved in the production, and we use it all the time. So those kinds of little things, though, are just for us. Like, who would get that? It would be something that you would mention to him, or that, you know, when his grandmother, it was grandmother, right?
Yeah.
I'm now blanking,
yeah,
of course. When she passed, it was like immediate. We were in the middle of building that the first time it was built. It's been rebuilt a couple times.
Yeah, it had to be named that, absolutely.
It's in a new whatever, we changed all kinds of things, enclosures, all that. But the every time it's stayed, and it's the kind of thing only he would get, or that we would remind ourselves, and that anybody else saying, oh, we named this certain machine, or they wouldn't really know why. You'd have to explain the whole thing, but mm-hmm. it was so intimate and it made so much sense to us at the time that he would have immediately understood the importance to us, and that it was in her honor and in respect for his impact on what we do. So do that. Yes, yeah. Please honor, name a machine, name a domain or a project, whatever you can. Find ways to, at least for yourselves, to carry that on, to remember, and to just give some little corner of your infrastructure to the memory of someone so powerful.
And just know that he would laugh at that. He would approve, most definitely. Okay, do we have any other phone calls? Or I forgot.
Yes.
Oh, we do. I'm sorry. Someone's been on hold all that time.
They're patiently waiting.
All right, I'm so sorry. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead. Hello, you there? I think I might have fallen asleep. Is anybody there?
Caller?
Caller, are you there?
Yeah, sure.
Ah, there you are. Okay. where are you calling from?
New York.
New York. I've heard of it.
No? I got you there.
Is that funny, Alex? You just tie up a phone line and you're there on the screen as well?
Callers, please know that the phone lines are open.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't even on the phone line. I was just speaking. You can't tell it.
Wait, so you're not on the phone?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, I'm not as angry, but somebody is on the phone. Okay, so is anybody... I hear noises. Everybody else, please be quiet. Is anyone there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
No, it's...
that was me, yeah.
All right, Alex, disconnect it. Cut his mic off. I want his mic cut. All right, so we're going to have to start over. 802-321-4225. Apologies to the caller who might have been trying to speak, but we couldn't hear them. All right, 802-321-4225. Those kind of shenanigans, yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing Kevin would have done. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, now we know there's a weak spot here, right? So with your headphones, you can't tell. There's no different channel or sound for the...
You just figured that out now, that the board is... We can't tell what channel is being used for input. Yeah, how would you tell that? You need video for that.
I have no idea, yeah, but I guess it all just sounds the same to you. So,
well, be that as it may, we have another call.
Yeah.
All right.
And good evening. You're on Off the Overtime.
Good evening.
How you doing? Where are you calling from?
London, England.
Oh, is this Zap?
Yeah, it's me.
It's a little sad that we know if it's a call from London, it's Zap, because nobody else in London would call us. But we're glad that you're on the phone.
Well, it is 1:30 in the morning. Most people are working tomorrow.
Well, yeah, some people are working now. They could call us in the middle of their work day.
Yeah, true. But I'm phoning up because of Kevin.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, sad times. It's really it. Everyone, I suppose, is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, quite a force in the hacking community. But I just wanted to recall one of the memories I saw, a couple of memories I have of Kevin. The first time I spoke to Kevin was in 1997, when he was in prison. And I think you were the one that passed me your cellular phone. And he was asking some questions because Tom, T0RM, had said some things to him and gave him a lot of promises, which unfortunately, Tom being the person he was, those promises were not going to happen. And that was the first time I spoke to Kevin, and so I had to tell him the truth and lay down on the line that Tom wasn't going to deliver what he'd promised. So that's one of the memories I have. 1997.
Wow. Well, you said more than just that, I hope.
Well, I spoke to Kevin, but it's difficult when he's phoning from prison because he's going to be on a limited time, and it's just a matter of getting the information he wanted.
Right.
It wasn't really a social call. It's more like a business call, trying to give him the help that I could give him. But there's some memories that come with that. I mean, I remember all the demonstrations all around the world when we were demonstrating outside the American embassies. And I think, you know, there was all the ones done. There was one in Russia that I remember. There was one in London that I organized. So we had a representation in London. Yeah, it's just a bit of a shock.
Yeah,
don't know what really to say. But you were saying about naming computers. I don't think anyone's mentioned these. One of his handles, I think, was Condor.
That's right. Condor was his, it was from the movie, right?
Yeah.
3 days of the Condor.
3 days of the Condor.
Robert Redford, I believe. There's actually a little scene in there with the telephones. I can understand why Kevin chose that as a handle. It's a pretty good movie. It's one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
It's a great movie.
I think I saw Kevin finally. I never saw him at a Hope. I've been to about 2.5 Hopes in England. He was actually a keynote speaker for one of the shows that I went to, a trade show. And I finally got to speak to Kevin and met him. And I reminded him about the phone call, but he didn't remember. And he did say it was like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I did actually meet the guy. So I was quite happy about that.
Well, I'm glad you got to meet him.
Wearing my 2600 hat that I always wear when I go to these trade shows.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, that's how I met Alex the lawyer. I don't know if he recalls.
That's right. Yeah, of course I do. That was at the... it was like the information security kind of InfoSec conference, Europe. Might have been at the Olympia or something. It was at some giant convention center, wasn't it?
I think it was at the Excel Center. I'm not too sure. All the shows sort of run into one another. Can't remember if it was IP Expo or I think it might have been IP Expo in October. But I remember you said cool hat. And
that's right.
Talking about 2600. And that's when I said, there's one in London. There's a meeting in London. And he was like, how did I not know this? And then he started turning up while you were over here.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. I think this is actually the kind of stuff that I talk about in the latest issue, isn't it? In my article. So, yeah, you should pick it up and read it. It's pretty funny.
Okay, I'll try and look out for that when the issue comes through.
Yeah.
That's all the memories I've got, really, of Kevin. Can't really think of. I mean, it was very limited because being in the UK, I was just lucky to meet him when he came over. It's a shame that he died so young.
Yeah.
And to be an expectant father as well, I believe he's got a son on the way. So it's like, it's difficult.
Is it a son? Do they know if it's a son or a daughter? I didn't know that.
I believe I read it on Twitter, but don't hold me to that. You got a 50-50 chance. But I believe he's expecting a son. Which you'll never meet, which is a shame.
I know, it's such a tragedy on that level alone, but also there's something happy about that too, because a part of Kevin will live on.
Yeah, the legacy will go on. I'm thinking about the first time I heard of Kevin, I think it was in that terrible book called Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk, yes, which John Markoff was also involved in, and his ex-wife, Katie Hefner.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I read about Kevin Mitnick and his antics when he was younger. Didn't put a very good light on it. Heard more things through 2600, the magazine, which was better. I actually watched Freedom Downtime again. I think that's something you have to do. Is just watch Freedom Downtime. If you haven't seen it already, go find it on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
I think at the next meeting, which will be the August meeting now, I think we'll get the group, the guys and the girls, to raise a glass to Kevin, as we always do when one of us has fallen.
That's a very good sentiment. I do appreciate that. I'm very inspired by that.
Yeah. Actually, can I just ask, are any of you guys going to DEF CON?
I am not, because I've got all kinds of work to do. I went to Alaska, and that took a lot out of me. But, Alex, your finger is raised, so I guess that means...
Yeah, I'll be going to DEF CON. I'll be there for a couple of days. Are you heading over that way, Zeb?
No, I've never been to DEF CON, which surprises a lot of people, because I've been in this game for many a year. I try to stay loyal, go to Hope, and I've only been to like, I think, 2.5 or 3.5.
How do you go to a half Hope? How do you go to a half Hope?
Well, it's a virtual Hope.
Okay.
Two virtual Hope.
Okay.
So I classify those as halves, you know. I haven't been back since about 2000, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
I'm due back at some point if I ever get a passport. But yeah, I should sort of go along to one of these DEF CONs. So it's on my bucket list, so hopefully I'll go one day.
Yeah, you should do it before Las Vegas melts completely because, what, it's 120 degrees now? It's insane. I actually saw something on Euronews yesterday. I thought I misheard. I thought they said that the planet is hotter than it's been in 120 years. No, they said in 120,000 years. The planet is hotter than it has ever been throughout all of humankind. Think about that. I mean, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And it's our fault, too. If I didn't make that clear, it's our fault. So it's, you know, we're messing the whole place up. And if people are standing in the way and saying, oh, you know what, I'm not going to do anything and climate change be damned, treat them as if they're condemning the entire human race to oblivion. You know, just do that. That might change their attitude a little.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on that.
I'm going to get off the line and let somebody else phone in. Hopefully they'll talk about Kevin. So, Rebel, please don't phone again.
he talked about Kevin a little bit.
Yeah, but Rebel's famous for phoning up all the time. And then while he was doing that FedEx thing, you had dead air on YouTube. I don't know what was going on there.
Well, that's what he asked us to do. He asked us to not say anything, so we were respecting that. But I realized after a while I had an opportunity to divert his package if I said the right things to the computer, but I didn't talk fast enough.
Well, with any luck, somebody would do that because that's the shenanigans that Kevin would love to, you know, to muck around with.
Absolutely,
it's a practical joke.
Absolutely,
which I like doing myself. Uh-huh. You know, it's harmless fun. Maybe, you know, as long as it's not malicious.
Yeah, Zap. Maybe that's what we can do. Embark on as many harmless pranks as you possibly can in the name of Kevin. I think he would appreciate that.
I don't know if my fellow crew from London 2600 would appreciate it, because I tend to get them near to getting arrested sometimes. But it's just shenanigans, you know, mischief. We're still suffering from Mastervik's passing, to be honest with you. We're still not feeling it. It's like the heart's been ripped out.
Yeah.
So we've got a few things to do. So, yeah, not a very good year. But, you know, so that's the way is life.
That's true. That's true. All right, well, Zap's always good hearing from you, and please be well.
All right, I'll be in touch.
Well, we'll see you at some point.
Thanks for calling.
Hopefully.
All right, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. That's Zap from London.
You know, I forgot until he reminded me that that's how we met. Literally, he was walking past me in a conference center wearing a 2600 hat, and I stopped him. You know, I should have written about that anecdote in the article this month. And Zap, I'm sorry I didn't recall it to put it in there, but it would have totally fit. When you read it, you know what I'll mean.
Well, you didn't recall it, but we can recall all the issues and print it again.
You could do that.
Get it right this time. That would be nice.
You wouldn't mind?
No, it's part of the publishing game. You can do that. By the way, we didn't mention this on the radio. We probably should have. But we're so bad at self-promotion. But now you can get 2600 PDF subscription and Kindle subscription directly from us. In other words, you don't need Amazon anymore. We'll talk more about that on the radio, though, in the future time. But that was a lot of work, too. That was part of what we were doing up in Yukon and all. So there's that. And, Alex, though, wouldn't you have met Zap at Beyond Hope? Because that was 1997, and you were pretty much an active hacker then. And he was at that conference.
Yeah, I don't think I met him though.
Huh?
I don't think that I did.
Well, add that to your list of regrets because it was so much fun hanging out with the Brits when they came over in 1997. I'll never forget that.
Of course. Do we have a call?
I think we do. Do we have a call?
Yes.
Okay. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Johnny Fusion.
Hey, Johnny Fusion. How are you doing?
I'm doing really great. I'm finally living somewhat independently, no longer in the medical facility. And
that's awesome.
Living life.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear some good news for a change.
Yeah. I never met Kevin, but like I followed him from afar, and a lot of the times I felt, but for the grace of the gods go I, right? Because a lot of the stuff that he was accused of doing, I did for fun, but I never got caught, you know, either because of good OPSEC or just dumb luck is what I really think it was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Kevin kind of, I feel, took the heat for hackers like me and hackers all over the country. Are you familiar with the concept of a whipping boy?
I've heard that phrase in many contexts, but I think Kevin was unjustly treated and blamed for a lot of things. As you say, many of us did, whether it's making free phone calls or, you know, accessing computers we're not supposed to access or just not obeying when we're supposed to obey. You know, if you piss off the wrong people and they make it their life's mission to make you suffer, you're going to feel that, unfortunately. And that's what I feel happened to Kevin, and a great deal of that was, as our friend Greg said, due to the New York Times, due to what they did, due to how they escalated the story and put him on the front page and made him, you know, target number one. So the FBI pretty much had to make that a priority.
Right. And really just to enrich Markoff's career, you know, he found something he could write about and sensationalize and make a name for himself. And I really feel that it was Markoff's pursuit of a story he could sell, and he did sell it all over the place,
mm-hmm.
that made Kevin infamous instead of just another merry prankster with technical acumen.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. It certainly had that effect. And when you consider, you know, as somebody who writes for a newspaper, there are so many stories. You don't really need that. You don't really need to cash in and tell this story that's going to make a movie out of it and all that, especially if it's about a human being. You know, your job is to tell the story and be accurate, not be a part of the story yourself.
Yeah, I mean, he was there when Kevin got apprehended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he even said in court, "I wish you luck, Kevin." Kevin heard that and could not believe himself that he would say that. But yeah, that was definitely something.
Yeah, and I really think that Markoff kind of made him a symbol for all hackerdom. You know, it, like the mythology of him being this arch hacker. And if you punish Kevin, then you're punishing the community by proxy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to the Stockton Public Library the day after that New York Times article came out, and going there and getting the library copy of the New York Times because, you know, there weren't websites back then. Well, there were, but they were very primitive.
Right.
But, you know, the newspapers weren't online. And sitting there in the library reading this sensationalist piece in the New York Times, you know, right near the card catalogs that I, you know, they were just terminals, but I figured out a way to hack them and tell that out to other places.
Oh boy.
From the public library. You know? And, it's something like the last caller said, I did read that book, Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know? As a young person who was, you know, just into hacking And I came very close to meeting Kevin, actually. Because you know how you said how you wish when he called that he was out of the country?
Right.
When I landed in Amsterdam in 1995 and made friends with the hackers there that did Hacktech and Access for All. Rop told me that before he got caught, they were planning for him to escape to Amsterdam. And were he not apprehended, we would have been there in the same time with the same circle of friends, you know? But fate didn't have that in mind.
Well, I don't think he would have really done that. I think he would have wanted to stay in his home country. He wouldn't want to leave his family, even though he was still on the run. Making that change where maybe you can never go back again, a la Snowden or something, I don't think he would have been comfortable doing that. That's just my personal observation.
Yeah, maybe it was just one possibility he was thinking. I don't know, but that's what I was told.
Mm-hmm. I know that was, you know, that was what they wanted to do. That's what a lot of us wanted him to do. But I don't think he would have ever actually left. Rob, did you have something?
Yeah, I think that just speaks to the esteem that the community has held him in, where he had people across the world willing to wrangle that sort of thing for him had he chose to go through with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, well, that's about it this week. I got other stuff, like, you know, because when I went to Amsterdam, I met, you know, Bill Squire, Bill SF, and how he hacked Bart, and now I ride Bart every week, and I don't think it's hackable anymore.
Oh, everything's hackable, but maybe in a different way. I don't know. I'm not going to get involved in that.
Yeah, but thank you, and thank you for the lovely tribute. And I'll probably be going to my first 2600 meeting on next Friday.
You mean you've never gone to a 2600 meeting?
I've never lived anywhere where they were really close by.
Okay, well, that's great then. I hope you have a great time. And for those who don't know, they take place the first Friday of every month in various cities. Go to 2600.com/meetings. You'll get a full listing. And you can start your own if you want to start one. There's a list of guidelines on how to do that.
But I'll let you guys go now, and thank you again for the lovely tribute to Kevin. And I'm very sorry that you lost your friend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, you be well.
I will.
Take care. Nice calls tonight. Really. Very, very touched by them.
Yeah, heartfelt, and we're right there with you.
Might have time for one more if it comes quickly. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. Looks like you have something to say, Rob.
Yeah, while we're waiting for a call, I was thinking a lot lately about the last time I saw Kevin, which is the last time he came to the studio to do this program with us. It was March 1st, 2017. And he had a new book out, The Art of Invisibility, and he came down. We were doing a fundraiser. He was kind enough to donate copies of his book as premiums. He was there in the studio with all of us. And it was, you know, it's a good episode. You can go back and listen to it. But also, it was just, it was a good hang. Afterward, we all went out to dinner. He was kind enough to pick up the check for all of us, that I remember.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't realize how long it had been until I went back and looked up the episode. But yeah, it is mind-blowing that he's not there anymore. And, you know, he will be terribly missed by very many.
He's not there in the sense that we knew him as being there, but he is very much there as far as how we think of him, how we remember him. I think, you know, we'll continue to feel his effects on our lives every day. I think it changes us. So I hope that's what we get out of all this, that nobody is ever completely gone. You know, they live on in one way or another. What studio were we in when that last time?
We were in Brooklyn. We were in Brooklyn, where we would be now had we not started doing this from home.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. So we haven't been in Harlem since before 2017. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I think it was 2016 we finished in Harlem.
Okay.
Off the top of my head.
Doesn't seem like that long ago.
Yeah, time is something I'm having trouble with lately. It just seems to be out of control.
Recall that it wasn't completed as far as the studio that we would recognize.
No, we didn't move
today
into the big studio, but it was Brooklyn. We were in Brooklyn at that time, so that is something.
It took several years for it to be built out the way it is now.
Yeah. I remember the excerpt we played earlier, the February 1995, we were on 8th Avenue then. 505 8th Avenue was where the radio station was, right by Penn Station. And I just remember doing that show, and a bunch of us went out and got New York Times. The New York Times was out by the time our show was over. And we just spent an hour or two in the station reading that article, that front page article. It was just so much crap that came out. That was basically condemning Kevin to basically be thought of as this monster criminal. That's really it was unfair.
And I remember listening to that episode live.
Wow, that is something. All right, you know what? I think we're done with calls.
Yeah, there are no more calls.
All right, that's fine. That's fine. I want to thank everybody for listening. It looks like Alex, you had something to say. Or?
Yeah, before we start, I just wanted to take a poll here. Who around the room, I guess, or the screen here, thinks that Emmanuel, his voice has gotten a lot deeper over the decades? You sounded like your voice, to me, sounded a lot higher back then.
Do you want me to play your voice from 1995?
No.
Because I can do that. I can do that, Alex.
Yep, that's true. I'm sure you can dig it up.
There are many judges and fellow lawyers who would gather around the radio and be highly entertained for many an hour.
So, I'm sure. I am sure.
Proceed with caution, as you are told in court, I believe.
Yeah. God, it's crazy to think that, that is definitely out there, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yep. So.
I think we all sounded younger 29 years ago.
Yeah, it is amazing though. But you don't think of your voice changing after puberty, I guess, but it does.
Yeah, things happen to voices. You know,
yeah.
They get raspy. They and the thinking behind it sometimes changes as well. You know, it becomes more conservative, perhaps, or slower or faster. I don't know. People change.
Definitely your case, more conservative these
All right.
days.
It's time that we clamp down on those people.
Yeah, those people, exactly. Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about.
Said like a true Republican. Yeah. I know.
Except I'm talking about Republicans, so there.
I'm just thankful that nobody was talking about you know who on the show today and the hearing and all that nonsense. Hunter Biden.
Well, thanks for ruining it after almost making it. But
you were giving me a strange look, like, you know, you didn't know what I was talking about.
I wasn't looking at you. I was looking across the room.
I thought you were talking about the UAP hearing.
Yeah, UFO hearing. Why did they rename UFOs, for God's sake? That's part of some kind of plot, I think, to keep UFOs, like, secret, like, call them something else.
So what is it now? Unidentified aerial phenomenon? Is that what it is? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Because UFO was wrong somehow?
Unidentified flying? They had to use, I don't know.
Are they walking objects now? I mean, are they in the air or not? Where are they?
It's just that they wanted to broaden it so that it wasn't specifically aeronautical vehicles, because some of this stuff is theorized to be... not necessarily spacecraft or a flying vehicle. Some of it is stuff that's capable of being submerged. And so they want all the domains of space
so
and
what,
water.
Unidentified boats?
Unidentified anything in any matter, air, water. So they just broadened it. And it's actually really fascinating because this whistleblower, they're basically people whistleblowing on... the DOD side, and there's all these sort of other groups, like the NASA led group, and it's a paradox. It's a very very bizarre, fascinating bipartisan hearing, and it's very strange. Strange times.
I'd like to go to one of those hearings.
Yeah, but anyway.
I'm still not speaking to Amtrak. So
test your hearing. Yeah. Definitely preserve your hearing.
Okay, that's good advice to end on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. OTH@2600.com is our email address if there's anything you'd like to share with us. We will be back next week. Is that the plan? We're going to do this again next week? Okay. And we'll have other things to talk about, and we'll have overtime again, hopefully with the online chat. We'll see.
Indeed. We will we'll return to that feature as soon as we have the capacity. But please, thank you. Please continue to, and thanks so very much for listening tonight.
Yes, and let's all remember Kevin. Let's all try and do things that he would find funny and productive, because that's the kind of person he was. That's the kind of person he always was. And through us, he will live on in one way or another. All right. See you next week. Good night.